Good morning. It is 8:18 and you're listening to Raven Radio. Tsunami alerts were posted throughout Southeast Alaska over the weekend after a magnitude 7.7 earthquake struck off the coast of Haida Gwaii, formerly known as the Queen Charlotte Islands in British Columbia. Communities reported no damage and only minor waves, most under 6 inches. By coincidence, KCAW spoke last week with Joel Curtis from the National Weather Service. He works in the Juneau office as the Warning Coordination Meteorologist. He was visiting Sitka to talk about the State Harbor Masters Convention, and we planned to air the interview sometime this week, but we're doing it today because of the weekend events. Here's Joel Curtis with KCAW's Ed Bronco.
Joel Curtis from the National Weather Service, welcome to Raven Radio.
Your link to this conference meteorologically, of course, is pretty self-evident. I mean, the harbors depend on the weather, boaters depend on the weather.
Oh, absolutely. And then there's the connection also to tsunamis. Okay, the National Weather Service does the tsunami forecasting, and harbors are very, very susceptible to tsunamis, even small ones.
Yeah. You know, the most recent experience we have with that here in Alaska, of course, was the impact from the Japanese tsunami of March 11th, 2011, and we saw some wave action here in Alaska. How did the state do? What happened here in Southeast?
Well, first of all, Sitka was actually the very best example because we have a NOAA tide station here.
And what is that, a tide station? It's a device, or a buoy?
It's a gauge and that goes up and down with the level of the water.
And so what did you see here on March 11th, or I guess the morning of the 12th?
Well, first of all, the time of the arrival of the wave, the very, very first wave, I think, I forget what time it arrived, but if my recollection is okay, it was something like about 8 a.m., and that wasn't very much of a wave. What everybody needs to remember about tsunamis is it's a series of waves. So that means that the wave front arrived, the tide was going out, the tide reversed, and the water kept coming and coming and coming and coming and coming in for 20 minutes. One floating dock broke loose and went out because then the water keeps going and going and going out for 10, 20, sometimes 30 minutes. Then guess what? The next surge comes. So now it reverses again. So that's how tsunamis work, and that's what makes them so extremely dangerous.
The graphic we all see at the seashore is the blue sign with the little guy running uphill and the big claw wave coming in. But it's really, what you're saying is that it's really different than that. And when we've seen that from the Indian Ocean videos, too. It was a big surge of water.
Frequently, the wave is just a front of water. Now, I'm a surfer, and I would rather surf than eat. But a tsunami wave is not the wave I would pick. Remember the ocean-going vessels moving up the street?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or the cars going out to sea.
Yeah. How do you impress upon people the importance of being ready for it when, you know, it's something that's kind of hard to think of proactively?
It's a very rare event. People should not walk going around and thinking, oh my gosh, a tsunami is going to happen tomorrow, and by the way, then it's going to happen again next week. It's not how it works. You need just the right set of circumstances for a tsunami to occur. But when it does, it's frequently devastating. And that's the problem, because you and I could go our lifetimes and not see a destructive tsunami here in Sitka. Or we could have one tomorrow, and then 2 weeks later we could have one. It's that much of a chance. The earthquakes around the Pacific Rim, which are our tsunami producers mainly, are you know, really not forecastable. So we just don't know when that's going to happen.
Southeast Alaska must be a really wonderful place for a meteorologist to work.
Well, it is, and it's really quite challenging. For one thing, we don't have a lot of meteorological data upstream. Now, let me explain that a little bit. Our weather frequently comes from the west or southwest into Southeast Alaska. We don't have a lot of stations. And worst of all, what we don't have is we don't have an upper air sounding, so we get a three-dimensional picture of the atmosphere upstream. So we rely on a lot of remote sensing, satellite image, radar. We hope that ships at sea take their weather observations. And then we have a handful of weather buoys out there that are anchored up and in the same spot all the time that give us some weather observations. And the ocean around here is very, very hard on those buoys, and they're extremely tough to repair. So frequently, we don't have the data upstream like you might in Oklahoma City or Little Rock, Arkansas, or someplace like that.
Yeah, where you can, if I'm in Chicago, I can see what happened yesterday in Des Moines and that kind of thing, and kind of look out and see what's coming.
Exactly. You can see what's coming, and then we have local complexity. And that local complexity is we have a lot of land-water contrast, we have channels, and we have really tall mountains. And you add all of that up, and it does make forecasting here tough. The radar can only look for really half because it can't see back into the mountains, so the radar can't look through granite. And one of the things we rely on is a lot of personal weather observations. We have weather spotters that call us and report the weather. We have weather stations inland. We have some marine observations inland. The Marine Exchange of Alaska is putting more marine observations in. So we're very, very excited about this time of having more observations to help refine and actually make our forecasts more accurate.
You were talking about how the ocean is really hard on the buoys, and you might even be able to see the Cape Edgecombe buoy sitting out there on the Maples dock. I think in a story a while back, we kind of referred to it as like the naughty kid in the class. It's the one that keeps breaking loose, right?
Well, there's actually a few like that. Honestly, they almost seem to take on personalities, even though we know that they're robots. And we know that they're sentinels and they're on guard out at the sea. But I just got to tell you, I mean, this Alaska oceanic environment is so hard on those things. And the batteries weigh so much. And then the sunlight angle gets low. And so the solar panels on the thing don't charge. And not to mention gigantic seas smashing the thing. And then let's be sure and mention the topper, vessel icing. So we get freezing spray on those things, and they are just absolutely hard on those buoys.
Yeah.
The weather forecasters will actually well up with tears when we lose one. Honestly, we depend on them that much.
Wow. It seems like October is the time here in Sitka when our houses get power washed by the weather, right? It's blowing and raining sideways, and that obviously hasn't happened. We're sitting here looking at bright blue skies. What's going on?
Well, we have a very strong Arctic high pressure system over the Yukon and British Columbia, and the upper high system is over the Gulf of Alaska. And that combination is our best weather pattern there is. And if you can put up with the cooler temperatures right now, and a few gaps in terrain where you have some pretty nasty winds. Other than that, this is just like ideal. And I honestly, if we could have a few more days like this, I surely wouldn't mind.
And that was Joel Curtis of the National Weather Service speaking to KCAW's Ed Ronco last week. Ann Bryce edited the interview, and we'll post it on our website later today.